Welcome to another Jew and Gentile podcast. I am your host, Chris Katulka, and with me is none other than the Jewish sage himself, the one, the only, Mr. Steve Herzig. How are you, sir?
I am doing great, but we have some great guests.
We've got amazing guests. Amazing guests. They just flew in from Dallas, Texas.
Chris, we finally have some authorities here.
They can
somebody
help us out.
Finally will be able to tell us the way, the truth, and the life besides Jesus.
That's right. They're going to show us the way. We got a great show. We're going to continue our study in Menno's book, Jesus in the Hebrew Scriptures. We've got some great news and a funny Yiddish word of the day. Here we go. Well, welcome in, everybody. Steve and I are very excited to introduce our guests. I'm going to pull them up on the camera here.
Make sure you kiss the mic.
There you
go.
Kiss
the mic.
There you go. We have Dr. Mark Yarborough, who is the president of Dallas Theological Seminary, my alma mater. And John, remind me.
Zareva.
Oh, there we go. John Zareva, who is with the advancement department at Dallas Theological Seminary.
Tom Gagin's position.
That's exactly right. We got a little competition here. This is great. Well, the reason that Dr. Yarborough is here and John, and recently we had Greg here earlier, who is a part of the alumni department at Dallas Seminary, is because y'all are celebrating a 100-year anniversary at Dallas Seminary.
What a birthday party. I'm 100 years old.
100
hard to believe.
Older than us.
I know. It's amazing. 100 years old. So how's it been? I hear y'all are on like a tour. You're going all around the country, it sounds like.
Yeah, we're having all sorts of celebrations around the country and actually around the world, believe it or not. I think we have 7 or 8 international ones that we're doing outside of the U.S. And so it's good to get together with grads and churches and ministries and individuals that we've had connections with for decades. And to just say, here's what God has done. So it's not celebrating DTS. It's celebrating the goodness of God in what he's done at Dallas Seminary.
Yeah. Well, I just have a question. Since it is so old, are these pastors, do they have like pink shorts and white shoes, white with sandals?
They do, and we can't show all the pictures. That's exactly
varicose
right.
Varicose veins and all that.
Well, we have grads from a long time ago, and then we have grads that just graduated last
year.
So
that's great. That's right. That's great.
So I want to get this out of the way, because I know that you're on a tight schedule, but Dallas Seminary and Friends of Israel have a very unique relationship. And it's not just the fact that I'm an alum. Dr. Mike Stollard, who oversees our international department, is an alum of Dallas Seminary. My wife downstairs is an alum. It's not just that. Actually, it goes back to the beginning of Friends of Israel. So if you'll grab that book right there.
I'm grabbing it.
That is the original Israel My Glory. Dr. Yarborough, I don't know if you ever heard of Israel My Glory magazine.
Of course. I've grown up with Israel My Glory.
Excellent.
I'm not making that up.
And we didn't pay him to say that.
I'm excited. And I know that we have it at the, or you have it at Turpin Library as well at Dallas Seminary. But if you open it up to page two, this is the very first Israel My Glory that ever went out. And
get my glasses.
Yeah, get your glasses out. It's the very first Israel My Glory that went out in 1942. The organization was founded in 1938. And it highlights in that page two the names of the committee members that were a part of the Friends of Israel.
It's a who's who list.
It is. Look at that. I see a bunch of names right there. And there's one in particular that I know very well.
You are in the lineage, my friend. Dr. Lewis Sperry Schaefer was a part of the Friends of Israel's committee in I think he might have come on in the 40s or so, but he was here in 1942. H.A. Ironside is down there.
Oh my goodness, yes.
I did a little research. Down at the bottom is Wilbur M. Smith, who received an honorary doctorate from Dallas Seminary and then went on to help found Fuller Seminary.
Robert McQuilkin. Look at all these names in here.
Yeah, it's big. Wow. You've got Moody Bible Institute presidents, Columbia International.
Sure do.
Anyway, I thought you might enjoy that because it's a little DTS history. It's a little Friends of Israel history, and you're the president, so you're practically, you know, in line here.
Your family.
Your family.
Mishpacha. We've got Mishpacha here.
So we're thankful that you're here. Thank you so much. I noticed on the cups that you have, I received a very nice alumni cup with Dallas Seminary's 100th anniversary, and it had three words on it that are defining kind of what's going on with Dallas Seminary. You're grateful. You're looking back to what God did. Or, you know, you're thankful. Is that what it is? Looking back to what God did. Grateful for today and hopeful for the future. Can you talk about that?
I sure can. I actually thought you were going to say Karuk San Tan Lagan. Actually, that's three words, too. We can talk about that later. But, we are. When you look back in 100 years, it's a great opportunity to hit the pause button. Every one of us, right? We have these mile marker moments in life where you have to hit the pause button and you look back at what God has done. So we have this little phrase. We're saying it all over campus. We're putting it in literature and on coffee cups and things like that. So we are thankful for the past. We're grateful for the present, and we are hopeful for the future. So what we're saying there is when we look back, it's the hand of God. Mm-hmm. God's been at work. There are no perfect places. There are no perfect people, barring one. But you look back and you see how God has provided resources, students, degree programs, friends that we've all been making a journey with in this season. And so we are. We're thankful for our past when we look back at the provision of God. We are grateful for what he's doing today. Here we are still 100 years later. We are still committed to the Word of God. We have our theological convictions. We have faculty that are exalting the Lord Jesus. God is still sending students to us. Mm-hmm. We have donors that are rallying behind us and in front of us and plowing a path and saying, hey, let's equip another generation for the gospel ministry. And we're also hopeful for the future. And when I say that is, I mean, we have purpose here today and tomorrow until the Lord comes back to get us or calls us home, right? Mm-hmm. And we've got a job to do. So it's a pretty simple model for us, but it's one that we're kind of beating that drum all over the place right now.
I love that. I love that motto. Greg and John went through it today during breakfast, and I just think it really does highlight your faithfulness to God's to the truth of God's word. I think that's something that we were talking about at breakfast this morning. Was that you know, what's been the thing that's kept Dallas Seminary moving forward is your faithfulness to God's word and to continue to teach it, and you haven't strayed from the moorings of the doctrinal truths that you have at Dallas Theological Seminary.
Well, I'll tell you what, we are committed to the word. I'd say this to every new student that comes in. We take it very seriously when we say, we really do believe this is God's word, that all scriptures God breathes is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness so that the man and woman of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work, right? Mm-hmm. We take it very seriously that this is God's word. He's spoken, he hadn't stuttered, it's inerrant, it's authoritative, it's inspired. And so we want to have everything that we do is central to what has God said already. He has spoken. Mm-hmm. And everything in Scripture from Genesis to Revelation is pointing to Jesus. And so we get to celebrate that. And that's been our anchor point since 1924.
Another thing, too, that I think is important for all of us here is that, you know, Friends of Israel is a Jewish ministry. And something I've valued about Dallas Seminary and all of my teachers here at when I was going through the program, we had a program called the Institute of Jewish Studies. I went to my professor. His name was Herb Hurt, a graduate of Dallas Seminary. And I said, where should I go? He goes, duh, Dallas Seminary. That's where you should go. And so I went there because deep down, rooted in Dallas Seminary, is something that we value too, which is Jewish ministry, reaching Certainly. Out to Jewish people. I've seen where y'all have been. You just did a Passover Seder for down in Burke County in Virginia.
Right. That's right.
Can you talk about that? Because right here, I just showed you in Israel My Glory, the first issue is Lewis Berry Schaefer, the president of Dallas Seminary, is connected to a Jewish ministry that wants to reach out to Jewish people. How is that embedded into the DNA of Dallas Seminary?
Yeah, it is part of the DNA. If you look at your doctrinal statement and our doctrinal statement and put them beside each other, there's a lot of common convictions there. And without getting into a whole bunch of ooey, gooey, goopy words of pre-trib, premillennial, dispensational theology, here's what we believe. And you know that, obviously, that mm-hmm. we believe that God has made covenant promises to the nation of Israel, and that we believe that there is a very significant distinction between Israel and the church, and that because of these promises is that God is not done with his commitment to the Jewish people, because God is a God of promise. Mm-hmm. And when God makes promise, he's going to keep it. And all of us, regardless of your eschatological conviction, we better say amen to that.
Yeah.
I mean, it just so happens when I say this, I say, I'm going to swing out into eternity based on the promises of God, not on the ability of Mark Yarbrough. I promise you that, right?
100%, yeah.
So God is a God of promises. And so when we talk about then how to study Scripture, you're in the Old Testament, and you see that God has made these promises that have not come to fruition yet. They haven't come to pass. And so we believe and that's what God is going to do. The Apostle Paul talks about that in Romans 9, 10, and 11, and all these promises that he has made to the nation of Israel that will one day come to reality. And so we're always keeping our eye on what God is doing with the nation of Israel.
Chris.
Great segue. Equip. Dr. Yarbrough, great segue tonight.
That's right. So, Dr. Yarbrough, I don't know if you know this or not, but the Jew and Gentile podcast, which you may not even have heard about before showing up just a few moments ago, is actually sponsored by it's sponsored by FOI Equip. And FOI Equip is your opportunity to learn the Bible from a Jewish perspective, just as Dr. Yarbrough was talking about. And so, actually,
look who I got to endorse what I'm doing tonight.
100%. Our very own Steve Herzig is teaching a class this evening on Did God Reject His People? Hey, may it never be. Romans 9 through 11. It's a 3-week course. Steve, do you want to give a little pitch for that tonight?
Yeah, we're doing Romans 9, 10, and 11. I'm going to start off with Yogi Berra. Yogi Berra.
How are you going to connect that?
Because he and the Apostle Paul were great friends, right?
Is that what you're saying? Yogi Berra, probably one of the most decorated baseball player that nobody knows, is actually known more for his yogiisms. And one of those yogiisms is, it ain't over until it's over. And we have, theologically speaking, people who think it's over for Israel. And we're going to talk about why that is not the case.
That's why it's a perfect segue.
It's a perfect segue.
And that's why, if you want to register for Steve's class tonight, you can still register. You can go to foiequip.org, and there you'll see that. And then next week, we're going to have next month, we're going to have Dr. Stollard teaching a class on covenant theology, the facts and the flaws of it.
And how much is this course, Chris?
Well, it's free.
Free.
It costs you nothing. All you got to do is register, sign up, and you'll have a great time. You'll learn something, and you'll get engaged with the Friends of Israel. It's a great doorway to finding out how you can engage with Friends of Israel through our teaching, our training, to get involved in the local Jewish community right where you are. So again, go to foiequip.org, and there you can register for Steve's upcoming class and all the other upcoming classes as well.
Hey, Chris, tell them our text number.
Oh, that's right. If you'd like to text, not that Dr. Yarbrough is going to get this at all, but you can text us at 424-444-1948, and there you can ask any questions. Maybe you got a question, you're watching this, you're listening, and we'll be happy to respond to it. Again, that's 424-444-1948. So tell us, you're here for a reason. You are speaking this evening. I think I'm going to see you tonight at dinner. We're having dinner, I think, right?
That's fabulous. Yeah, we're doing a couple of things, actually. Here for about 4 days. So tonight, yes, we're having an alumni gathering, a dinner with the presidents, kind of what we're calling them all over the country. And it just means we're getting a bunch of grads to come out and shake hands and tell stories and remember moments where the Lord was working on our heart in a particular class. And we always have a segment. Well, I'll do Q&A tonight with a bunch of grads. And inevitably, it moves to the, and we say it real respectfully, but are they dead yet? You know, it's kind of, hey, I had this prof back in, you know, a date.
Yeah.
And everybody kind of says it gently. And it's like, yeah, sorry, he's been off the planet for a while. You know, he is to be absent from the body is to be home with the Lord.
That's
and he
right.
is home with the Lord. And so we'll have a lot of those kind of discussions and just shake a bunch of hands and just reminisce. So that's what we're doing tonight. In the next couple of days, tomorrow night and on Saturday, I'm leading a seminar that I'm doing all around the country called The Story of Scripture.
Oh, I love this. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's, if you've ever heard of like Walk Through the Bible Ministries, where you do all sorts of hand motions to remember things along the way in the journey, I would argue a little bit what we're doing here is that I am wanting us to see kind of a biblical theology of the Bible,
mm-hmm.
you know, the grand narrative that starts in Genesis and ends in Revelation. And so we're going to just start at one segment. I've got these kind of 12 hooks that we're going to have to hang our hat on as we go and to see how God works and makes these promises all the way in the Old Testament. And by the time we get to the New, we make this big conclusion, surprise, surprise, that Jesus is the fulfillment of all of the Old Testament covenant promises. But Jesus has yet to fulfill all of the Old Testament covenant promises, which is why we await Advent number two.
That's great. That's fantastic. Go. And that's called what is it called again?
The Story of Scripture.
And where are you doing that in the Philadelphia area? If somebody's poking around.
We are doing this at Christ First Church.
In Downingtown. That's right. And you're doing them all. So if somebody wanted, is there a website that people could go to? If they want to follow up and maybe there's one in their area?
You bet. Go to thestoryofscripture.org.
Fantastic.
Thestoryofscripture.org. Just spell it out, and you'll see where we're doing them all over the country.
That's fantastic. All right, so would you mind sticking around? We're yeah, going through Isaiah 52 and 53, and we're wrapping up a section on Isaiah 52 and 53. Steve, do you want to? We're using Menno's book, and
we
you can,
are. But I wanted to start off, Chris.
Oh, that's right.
That's right. I wanted to start off with a little story. I've shared my testimony here on several occasions, but I dug out my Masoretic text. Now, of course, that's not how they presented it to me back when I was in synagogue.
They didn't say, here's your Masoretic text.
No, they said, I remember the president of the synagogue telling me, I'm thrilled he said that. He said, you should read this book on a regular basis. Now, at the time, this was past my bar mitzvah. I'm in probably in ninth grade. And I'm saying, yeah, right. But I appreciate it. Look, it's got my name. In
yeah, that's no
ball.
Joke.
I mean, no joke. But a few years later, as the Lord led, this was the Bible. Actually, not this particular one. I was at my sister's in California, exact same white leather, only her name. And it was worn out. Her name was worn out. This was worn out. She'd been reading her Bible. Mm. What in the world is going on? You're reading your Bible. She asked me to turn to Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53. I had never read Isaiah 53 that I know of.
And
I
you mean, grew up in an Orthodox
an
Jewish
Orthodox home. House.
And yep. You never read Isaiah. And you went to Hebrew school.
I went to Hebrew school.
You went to Hebrew Sunday school.
I went to Hebrew Sunday school. If I read it, I read it in a liturgy so fast that I had no idea what I was reading. But no, we already know that Isaiah 53 is one of several scriptures. It's not the only one. A lot of believers will say, oh, they hide this chapter from me. They don't hide the chapter. Look, it's right here.
Yep.
We don't read it.
That's right. It's not like tucked into
it's not
a...
Like this, my synagogue did not say, please, don't read Isaiah 9:6. Don't read Isaiah 7:14. Don't read Isaiah 53. Don't read any of it.
Yeah.
No. It's just, we don't. It's really interesting. But I read Isaiah 53 for the first time, and I read several other prophetic passages that speak of the Messiah. And I showed you, Chris, as it relates to Isaiah 9:6. I remember reading the text. It says, for a child is born unto us, a son given unto us, government is upon his shoulder, and his name is called, now get this, Pelioez El Gabor, Abiatzar Shalom. What's going on here? Well, you got to look at the bottom.
Yeah,
because at the bottom of the text, there's a little asterisk there, and you read, oh, wonderful, God mighty, the everlasting Father, the ruler of peace. Oh, why did they do that?
Yeah, why did they do that?
Why did they do that? Now, there's all kinds of theories as to why. To be honest with you, I don't really care why they did it. If you want to be of the opinion they did it to hide the truth, they didn't really do it to hide the truth because there's the truth.
Yeah, it's right
there. It's right there.
In a footnote.
But they make you do gymnastics.
Yeah.
It's like tech today, you know, where you have to hit all, you have to find it, but it's there.
Yeah.
It's there. So anyway, Isaiah 53, that's the mechanism using God's word as we just heard how important God's word, it's living, it's active, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. I read Isaiah 53 and I knew right away who it was speaking about.
Yeah.
So that's important, but we go to Menno's.
But it's funny because that's a footnote. And there's another footnote that we found too in a commentary. I don't know what you did with that commentary.
I don't know what I did with it.
Well, it's a commentary on the...
On the Haggadah.
So y'all just did a Passover Seder
right
the other day.
Right. This is the most amazing thing, Chris is going to talk about.
So we have this... a couple years ago, I bought a JPS, which is the Jewish Publication Society's commentary on the Haggadah, okay?
Right.
And so I wanted to know, what were the Jewish people thinking about the Afikoman bag?
The only Greek word in all of the Seder.
That's right.
There's Hebrew, there's Aramaic, there's whatever language you're
this
living in.
This is
going
to be a good discussion. Let's hear about the Afikoman.
Yeah. So the Afikoman, they go through it, and it's all the Jewish interpretations of it from the Mishnah, blah, 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 blah. But then down at the bottom, a footnote, just like they did here in Isaiah 53, down at the bottom, there's a footnote that says, And it could mean he has arisen or he has come.
He has come.
Yeah, he has come. And so I have, and they actually. That's right, exactly. Yeah. They actually highlight the article of David Dalby that does the, you know, but you have to give the Jewish people credit.
They are honest. You got to find it, now, but it's there.
It's not in the text. You got to go digging for it. Classic seminary style, down in the footnote. It's in there properly. But I thought, hey, that's fantastic. They at least admitted, it could mean this.
But that's super helpful to know where you could authenticate what we teach. We knew what we were teaching is right, but when you have that footnote, somebody comes up to you and says, it doesn't mean that. Oh, I'm sorry to tell you. It might not be 100%. I always tell people there's debate. I am not one of those debaters. I am not a scholar, but I rely on scholars. And there is a legitimate debate that is going on, and I can show that to you. And that's good as we relate to Jewish people.
100%. And so we're relating to that in the same way through Isaiah 53. And Steve, why don't you take this passage? And then Dr. Yarbrough, John, chime in if you want to on Isaiah 52, 53.
We're at the part, we're going through Menno's book and tell them how they can get it.
They can get it by going to the link in Steve's favorite parts, the show notes.
How do you get to the show notes?
You scroll up.
Old people need to know how to get to the show notes.
That's right. You're listening, you're watching, boom, you scroll up.
You got to scroll. you got to scroll. I didn't know that for a long time. Where are the show notes?
I was corrected, gentlemen, the other day because I said it's in the show notes. And Steve goes, you know, I've been hearing these show notes for 2 years now. Where are the show notes? I said, you just got to scroll up. He goes, you got to. And then all of a sudden, I get texts all over the place. Now I know where the show notes are.
No one knew where the notes were. You got to scroll. Okay, so Menno makes an excellent point as we go through Isaiah 53, starting in chapter 52, where he talks about the text saying that the servant is extolled, exalted, and very high.
Mm-hmm.
And then he takes us through passages where men, people were lofty in their own mind, exalting themselves and saying how the scriptures condemn people for doing this.
That's right.
So within the context of Isaiah 52 and going to Isaiah 53, here's this servant. He's a servant, humble, but he's exalted. And Menno's conclusion is that, wait a minute, the only person who can qualify as an exalted person who's extolled and very high and yet is humble is God himself.
Mm.
And it, in the context, and his argument is really a good argument. So the study of these verses, he says on page 128, the study of these verses leads us to a clear conclusion, concise and clear. God alone, who is worthy to sit on the throne, high and lifted up, Isaiah 6:1, and he alone is very high, Isaiah 52, verse 13, any attempt of man or any other being to take the place of God to presume equality with him is but rebellion against him and will surely be judged.
Because that's the interesting thing about Isaiah 52 and 53 is, like you said, it starts with his exaltation and then it shoves him down into the mud of reality.
It's a hard concept to get a hold of.
That's right. Exactly. And so that's an interesting concept that he begins to pull out. Again, that idea that he's high, he's lifted up, he's exalted, and then all of a sudden he's marred, he's beaten.
And then he's despised.
He's despised
by people.
That's right.
People don't like this high guy.
Yeah. Any thoughts on that, gentlemen? I know maybe you might have something you want to add. I don't want you to feel like you're left out.
It just makes you think from a New Testament perspective of almost like a Philippians 2, you know, you get the kenosis passage, and what an incredible picture we have of the incarnation.
Yeah.
And what you're saying and what Menno is arguing, right, is it's a setup for what we reference as the word becoming flesh.
100%.
That's right.
And it's so difficult for, well, I think it's, I don't think it's a matter of being Jewish or Gentile. It's a difficult concept. But in Judaism, it's hammered to us. Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. It's hammered to us. So when we're confronted with legitimate information in our own text, usually what happens amongst my people is we say, you know what? We could figure out another way. We don't want to do it this way. There has to be another way. And that pretty much, look, start in the garden. I mean, start in Exodus. with Moses. Moses himself said to God, you know what? You got the wrong guy. There has to be another way. We're always looking for another way.
You know,
he's the only way.
Well, even Jesus challenges the disciples as they're on their way to Jerusalem. They're going, you know, even the moms come up and they go, hey, Jesus, you know, we got our sons here. Maybe you could move them into positions of power. And Jesus has to challenge that mindset of power and authority in the way, and he goes,
it's not what you know, it's who you know.
Exactly.
They knew that.
Exactly. They knew that. And so Jesus is saying, you know what? You're thinking like a Gentile. I'm here to flip the script, the way that God wants us to approach this, a godly perspective. And that is through exaltation, exactly what Dr. Yarborough said. We find ourselves in a place of Jesus humbling himself to the point of death on a cross, shoved into the mud and muck and mire of sin and shame as he comes down here, as Isaiah 52 and 53 say. But then God does something amazing. He exalts him because of his obedience to God, because of his obedience to the Father. And so that's what Isaiah 52 and 53 is saying as we think about this humility and exaltation together.
Chris, on page 131, Menno says this, "Let us not be deceived by his outer appearance. He will indeed be revealed as a servant, and yet he has the power to amaze and astonish many nations. A day will come when the greatness and glory of the servant of the Lord, the Messiah, will be seen by all. Anyone who has not adhered to the word of God by then will be able to see the truth with his own eyes, as it is written, for they shall see eye to eye when the Lord brings back Zion." Mm. Isn't that great?
Yeah, 100%. 100%. So that actually concludes
it does.
Our study on
and
Isaiah.
And look who we had finally with the stamp of approval by the president of Dallas Theological Seminary.
100%. Hey, I know that you have to go in a moment, but would you mind chiming in on something?
You bet.
We like to do some news.
Okay.
And I know that we're hitting you without you having any time to prep.
He'll have no problem.
100%. I'm sure you've got an opinion or two. But the first one is this. Are we looking at the Detroit news? Is that the one?
Yep,
okay.
Yep.
You know, we're hearing the death to America chants in Dearborn echo across social media, draw local condemnation. This comes from the Detroit news, and maybe you've heard it on the news. A video captured chants of death to America and death to Israel by some attendees of Dearborn rallies on Friday and went viral over the weekend, underscoring tensions over U.S. support for Israel's six-month-long assault against Hamas
in
Gaza.
Chris, it doesn't matter if you're a Republican or a Democrat. We're not talking politics here.
No.
We're talking about America.
100%.
We're living in America. We benefit from America, and yet there are people saying death to America.
Yeah. The chants of Iran are coming to, you know, on a distant side of the world.
This is Michigas.
Yes.
Michigas.
Michigas in Michigan. That's where I thought you were going with
this. Michigas in Michigan.
I don't know if you've heard this at all, Dr. Yarborough. Any thoughts that you might want to give to this?
Well, it's tragic, isn't it? I mean, let's just call it what it is. I mean, here we are. We live in the United States, and the blindness that has come over, the anti-Semitism that has just reared its head, not just in the United States, but around the world. Oh, yeah, we could have a long discussion. 2 weeks ago, I was invited to the Israeli embassy in the Washington, D.C., and watched a 47-minute presentation from the embassy on footage that hasn't gone public. I can talk about it. I signed a big non-disclosure agreement and things like that for protection of family members, but it's just a tragedy that we're watching unfold. But
were you able to stomach the 47 minutes?
It was horrible. You can't unsee it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, it was something that, looking back, I don't want to call it was an honor to see it, but it was an honor for those that were slaughtered, that gave their lives and had their lives taken from them. Mm. And so this is, I love what you said. This is not an issue, and I appreciated greatly the embassy statement when they said, look, this is not a Republican issue. This is not a Democratic issue. What we're watching is a sin and an evil on humanity.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell you what, after watching the horrific things that took place, of which many of us saw because of Hamas, in terms of putting up on social media a lot of the treachery that they did, but it was 10 times worse than what even they posted. So to see what the United States just goes to show how blind we have become. But let's not forget, I mean, we say this from a theological perspective, right? This has gone on before.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I had an incredible discussion with a guy on a plane coming back from New York City, a very secular Jewish man that I had a wonderful discussion with him. Does not know Yeshua at all. Not at all. He actually went to an Episcopalian school as a kid growing up, but grew up in a totally very secular Jewish home. And we ended up having this great discussion about what we're seeing. And he was giving pause because of all of this, as you can imagine. And I asked him, I said, why is it that we are seeing constant persecution of the Jewish people? And he said, I don't know. I said, how would you explain the Holocaust? I said, you know, I went to school at the University of North Texas for a couple of semesters, and I had this very public atheistic professor that was teaching world history. When it came to the Holocaust, he stood up in front of the class, and he said, you know, I don't even believe what I'm about to say, but it's almost as if this was satanic. That's what he said. And he made it. He argued for, you know,
he must have been listening to our podcast.
I think he must have been. I mean, he had argued where there is no God, but that's the only language that he could come up with. And I asked him, I said, do you think there's something bigger going on here? This is my friend now that I met in the airplane. And he said, maybe you're onto something.
Yeah.
That's great.
And we're going to have coffee here in a couple of weeks. And we ended up having a 3-hour discussion, and then the plane landed. You know, it was one of those great moments. The Lord was at work and put our seats there together. But look, here's my point. I've said all that to say something that we all believe, right? The evil one's at work, and he is doing everything that he can do to thwart the plans of God. God still loves and cares for the Jewish people. The gospel is first for the Jew and then for the Gentile. And because of that, we are seeing Satan stir in the hearts of people in old ways that appear very new.
Yeah.
But they're very, very old.
Yeah. That's a great way to put it.
He's always been back in the garden trying to thwart the plans of God.
Mm-hmm. Hey, isn't it great to know that in 1942, Louis Sperry Chafer, he kind of sealed or authenticated Israel My Glory. And now we've got the president of Dallas kind of authenticating the Jew and the Gentile podcast.
100%. Oh, we're going to remember. That's good, Steve. I like that. We'll remember that one. Mark's going, I didn't sign up for that, buddy. Okay. Well, listen, you know, the other thing too, that when I read this is that I think a lot of people look at what's going on with Israel and Hamas, and they're looking at it as a regional tiny war between Israelis and the people, the Palestinians. And it is tragic. But at the same time, they don't realize they're fighting a much greater war that we, you know, in the same way we're saying Ukraine is going against Russia on behalf of the West. I don't think people in the West think that Israel is going to war on behalf of the West.
Well, Chris, Iran, I've got to interrupt right now, as we speak, the FBI director said that we are at alert.
100%.
We are at alert because Iran, if I remember the quote correctly, he said, it's not if they're going to attack. Right. It's when they are going to attack. And literally, our country is on alert. And it's not because of the war with Russia, the Russian war with Ukraine. It's because of what's going on in the Middle East.
Yeah.
And it is, again, a reminder of what Zechariah said so long ago. The nations of the world are going to gather against Israel. Israel, little Putski Israel.
Putski.
New Jersey. It's New Jersey. We're minding our own business. We want to be left alone. And we're never going to be left alone.
100%. Well, there's one more here, too, that comes from the National Review. Which says that Blinken recently claimed that Israel could become indistinguishable from Hamas without further steps to protect civilians. That's the headline. Secretary of State Antony Blinken suggests on Thursday that Israel...
One of ours, Chris.
You're saying a Jewish man.
He's a Jewish guy.
That Israel could become indistinguishable from what's going on Hamas. After October 7th with Hamas. You know, this is interesting. Again, this is moral equivalency that's going on here. And I think it's something that you're seeing that a lot of the media is beginning to lose. They want to end this war. And I think that's what's going on is they're trying to push a narrative that this war has to end. And the problem is there's
attention.
Forgetting
the hostages.
100%.
No concern for the hostages. How could you end a war, ceasefire, if you're not even demanding hostages be returned?
That's right. And so, and apparently there's been an opportunity several times for a ceasefire, and it's been turned down by Hamas over and over again. And
they never miss an opportunity to miss an opportunity.
That's exactly right. So again, you're seeing this idea of moral equivalency that we're seeing indistinguishable, that Israel looks indistinguishable from Hamas.
And these articles will be in
This will be in the show notes. We got a text that came in, and I want you to be encouraged by this. Dr. Yarborough has a great radio voice.
Well, there you have it.
There you go.
Bada bing, bada boom, we're out of a job.
That's right.
Thank
exactly.
You for joining
that
us
comes
on
from
KSKY.
That's right. You did great. Thank you, Karen. I know she's tuning in from California. So, Karen, thank you so much. All right. Hey, you know what, Steve? Because we're getting short on time here, I think we should do our Yiddish word of the day. What do you think?
I think we should do our Yiddish word.
And then we
of
can
the
close out the podcast with Dr. Yarborough and John here. This
well,
will be great.
I do want to make sure we cover what Jerry said.
Oh, yeah. We'll do that after. That's good.
Yeah. But I got to find my word here.
There it is.
My word. There it is. All right.
Yiddish,
are you ready?
Yiddish word of the day.
We'll let Jackie Mason do it for us. Toyton bonkus.
Toyton bonkus.
Toyton bonkus.
Okay.
Here's his definition. Another instance of Toyton bonkus is when you see a girl you're wild about, she's wearing a mink coat and she's getting into a Rolls Royce. Some guy's taking her on a 10-day cruise. You rush over and you tell her if you had more money, you'd buy her the world. You tell her that he might have more money, that he might look better, but you have something that he will never give her. What's that, she asks? Wisdom. Wisdom. Then they drive. Wait, I got to turn the page.
There we go. See, the page turn always ruins everything.
If you had any real wisdom, you'd know that that line would help you like Toyton Boykus! Never, Pavella! Never, ever, ever!
That's what it means. Never. Hopelessness.
Hopeless. Helpless. It's just like the person who refuses the Messiah. It's over.
Toyton Boykus.
There's no way to have eternal life without Jesus Christ.
And even, we were talking about this earlier, with the idea of those who exalted themselves over God that we see in Isaiah, we see in Ezekiel, there is no hope. There's no hope when you exalt yourself over God. Toyton Boykus.
Before we leave, real quick, we got a letter from a person who came to our conference, Chris, on Saturday. Jewish guy came, and he knows Friends of Israel. He doesn't agree with Friends of Israel, but he loves our stand on Israel. And the cool thing that he said is this. There was a time, for example, in our Philadelphia area, not well disposed towards us Christian denomination that was sponsoring synagogues. Unlike Judaism, Christianity actively seeks new adherents. FOI wears its identity on its sleeve, and it went on a trip to Israel, joint with them to South Jersey. When I was an officer of my fraternal order, Brit Shalom, I put it up to our members this way. Their first name, here it is, their first name is Friends of Israel. Their last name is Gospel Ministry. But we're on a first name basis. I love that guy.
He came to an entire Prophecy Up Close conference.
He listened to the whole thing.
He heard the
gospel.
He
tells his friends they're good people.
They're good people. That's great. And who was that again?
Jerry.
Jerry. And you get pizza with Jerry.
I get pizza with Jerry.
I love Jerry. Hey, everybody, thank you so much for being a part of the Jew and Gentile podcast. Thank you so much, Dr. Yarborough, for coming.
Privilege. Privilege.
This was a lot
of
fun.
Bless you guys.
John, thank you very much for coming. Hey, listen, next week we'll be back. We're going to pick up on a new section in Menno's book on Jesus. Hey, we're also going to be able to look into what Steve's talking about, Romans 9 through 11. You can join tonight. Go to foiequip.org to register. We'll see you in person. We'll have a fantastic time. And we'll see you soon.